for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, May the 22nd, 1981, Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Memorial Weekend, a Deliverance Seminar with George Leroy of Toronto, Canada.
We just lift up our hearts with thanksgiving and praise. We believe that the presence of your Holy Spirit can do that which no man can do. So we invite the Holy One of God to move in Holy Ghost power upon this place. We are asking thee, Father, to restore us to the glory of God, to the image that you have working within us. For Lord Jesus Christ, we acknowledge thee as Lord. We acknowledge thee as Lord. We ask your Holy Spirit to begin to breathe like you've never breathed before on our lives. And so transform us and change us that, my God, your image, your character will break through our lives. For we're tired of what we are. Father, we want to be better than what we are. We want to be more like you. And we're praying, Father, for this metamorphosis to continue to work by the power that works within us to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. So we lay ourselves before your presence this morning, and we ask you, Lord Jesus, to search and investigate our hearts. And if anything there should not be there, Father, then we're praying for the circumcision by the Spirit to bring deliverance to those areas and cut them out to the power of God. Fill it with your Spirit, your presence, and your life. For we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. As we seek your authority and your lordship and your power, build in us, O Christ, build in us your life. For this is the desire that we have, that we'll move up into the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That we'll be worthy and accounted worthy, Father, for the acquisition of the glory of God as He comes to be glorified in His saints. So we pray, Father, as that candlestick was beaten from within, may the Holy Ghost, Lord Jesus, form us from within. And may we become one of the stem. May we become the branch, Lord Jesus, one of the glory of God, one of the image of Jesus Christ, members of that living body. And Lord, we might flow together in the power of the Spirit and worship you in spirit and in truth. So may the incense of the altar of your kingdom within us come forth from our mouths, and may we worship in spirit and in truth. For we want reality. We want reality, Father. We don't want the counterfeit. We want the reality of the worship that comes from the kingdom within us. So we ask you, Lord, burn with us a fire, Lord Jesus, that the incense of the Christ might blow without. For thou wouldst sit on the king of our, thou wouldst sing on the throne of our hearts. For you are a King of kings and Lord of lords. And we acknowledge your lordship. We acknowledge your kingship. We acknowledge thee as master. So teach us your ways. Teach us your ways, Father, as we submit our lives to the Holy Spirit of God. And deliver us and set us free, that we might walk as unrestrained citizens of heaven. Free in the Holy Ghost, free from sin, free to move in the power of the authority of Jesus Christ. So we give you praise and acknowledge you this morning. Minister life to us, Father, and we'll be pleased to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd like to share with you about two men. Both were called of God. One who had a vision and was a spiritual man of God and moved up higher into the realm that God had called him to. The other who was called of God was in the natural realm or the fleshly realm, and he ended up paying a severe price because of the way he lived. And we're here at this convention or seminar camp meeting that God can take and renovate within us and build in us the character of Jesus Christ and to show us the areas that we need to be set free from, areas that God will point out to us as the days continue and our services continue. We will find areas that God will deal with us on. And as these areas come to the forefront, then through the power of Jesus Christ, the authority of His name, and the blood, and the power of the Spirit, He will dig us out and renovate those areas and fill us more with His character and His glory. I want you to turn with me this morning to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. I'm going to talk to you about Abraham and Lot, and I want to bring out some comparisons and trust that they will relate to you this day, because we have known over the years the Church of Jesus Christ has not fulfilled its obligation, not only to itself, but to Jesus Christ and to the world in which we live. And because of the areas in our life, because of not knowing full truth, because we have not known truth as God would have us to know it, we have walked around within us with the kingdom of darkness, the mystery of iniquity, things that have hindered us from moving up into the things of God. But those days are changing. God is bringing us truth, and the truth is making us free. And as it makes us free, our lives are being changed, and our witness is being accepted in this system in which we live. The inconsistencies that so many of our children have seen, and so many of the unsaved have seen, God is cutting out and cutting us loose from, that our lives can become what they should be in Jesus Christ. And so we have to become spiritual, live in a spiritual realm, and understand what God is trying to do. And now if you'll turn to Genesis 12, you'll see in the very first verse of Genesis 12:1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." Now I want you to hold that scripture and turn with me to the book of Acts. And here in the book of Acts, in chapter 7, I want you to take note of some scripture here that's important as we go into the study of Genesis 12. In Acts chapter 7, beginning at verse 1, "Then said the high priest, Are these things so? And he said, Men and brethren, fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, come into the land which I will show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans, and dwelt in Charan, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein you now dwell." Now you will notice in the book of Acts that when God, through divine intervention, met Abraham where he was, he said, "I want you to leave your kindred, and I want you to go into a land that I'm going to show you." And just as you and I have come out of organization through one way or another, and God has shown to us the revelation of Himself and told us of a high calling that we could have in Christ Jesus to move into sonship and the manifestation of the sons of God, He has told us to sever the ties that keep us grounded to a natural earthly religion. The bondages and traditions of our system have hindered the people of God from going on with God into the things of God. And so we read now in Genesis chapter 12 that Abraham, or Abram as his name was called that time, father of height, or high father, because God was going to move him now up into a spiritual heavenly realm by faith, just as you and I are living. We live here, we walk here, but we live in the Spirit. And we live in a spiritual realm, and from that moving up higher into the things of God, God brings to us revelation by His Spirit and shows us the way and the journey that we have to go. And so we see that Abraham took his relatives with him. It says in verse 2 or in verse 31 of Genesis 11, "Terah took Abraham his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarah his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees
to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran, and that word Haran means a strong, enlightened place. Now these are the areas that you and I have to be careful of when we start our journey into the fullness and into the glory of God. Many times, as we move into a certain area in Jesus Christ and revelation comes to us, we want to stay there, put our tent, and say, this is as far as we want to go. And we know this has been true in past history from different organizations. God has given to them revelation, and we'll take the last, we'll say Pentecost, and God has given to the Pentecostal people the Pentecostal experience, and there they stay. They do not understand that there's a moving on to higher heights in the things of God. Tongues is not the ultimate, it's the beginning. And it's the beginning of moving on to the power of God, into the sonship and the lordship of Jesus Christ, and into the high calling that God has for you and for me, if we believe it, and our spiritual men and women. And so, Abraham with the family came to Haran, and because it was a strong and enlightened place, they stayed there. It says they were going to Canaan, just as you and I are, to possess the land, and one day our faith will become a reality. And it says they dwelt there. Now there's a certain time that God brings us into revelation, and we stay there. We learn things, but we must not make that the ultimate of our Christian experience. We must allow God to teach us in the area that He has brought us to, and then to go on higher and farther into the things of God. And it says in the 32nd verse of Genesis 11, and the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. After he died, after this severance took place, then this man of God, Abraham, said, well, I've got to move on. And generally, it takes some kind of a death, whether it's in the family, whether it's in our spiritual life or our fleshly life, it takes a cutting off and a severing of certain things for God to move us on. Now in Genesis 12, we've already read the first verse. The second verse says, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee, I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. I believe the day is coming that God is going to bless you, bless me, and through the blessings of God through us, we in turn will bless the earth. Do you believe that? I believe there's an age coming where God is going to move in such power and things are going to happen that my job or my desire is that God prepare me now for the next age. Now thank God for this age and thank God for what He's doing in this age. But brother, He's developing and preparing and maturing sons for the next age. And we'll see things happen in the next age that we have never thought possible. But thank God, today in this place that we are living in, God is doing a work of renovation and circumcision and deliverance in our lives to bring us to that place that we might qualify for governmental authority in the next age. And so He goes on in the third verse. He said, I will bless them that bless thee. And I found that to be so. And I believe our brother Glenn, and I believe his, and Irma, I believe they found it to be so. What does he say? I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. I have found in my years of pastoral work, in the last 6 or 7 years since I've come into sonship, that I don't have to handle too many problems. God handles them for me. God handles them for me. All I have to do is pray. And as I pray, God will turn the situation and the circumstances around. And even though people will curse me and call me a demon chaser and this chaser and that chaser, and you've been there, Glenn, and that the demons are swinging on light bulbs and all this business, all these rumors go along, I don't have to defend myself. God Almighty takes care of the problem, and generally, those that fight are the ones that eventually come through the door and want deliverance from those things on the inside. So that's a beautiful scripture. But what's happening? Because we're being raised to that spiritual level in God, and because we are living in that level and that plateau in the things of God, God says, I'll take care of the problems. I'll fight for you. So it says in verse 4, Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And look what happens. Lot went with him. Now I've found in the sonship message, I've found in different fellowships that I've been to, that many people have sonship in theory only, not in experience. And here, when Abraham had this divine intervention from God, He took Lot with him, and the word, the name Lot means veil or covering. Lot just wasn't a spiritual man. He was a man that God had touched, but he had a veil and a covering over his mind. And I found when God, through divine intervention, met my life 6 years ago, that he had to take that veil and the covering of tradition and bondage off of my mind, that I could see the truth of the revelation of Christ in me, the hope of glory in me. And God had to open up the manifestation of the sons of God and the identification and the union that comes in the fellowship and the intimacy with the Lord Jesus. So when God came to Abraham through divine revelation or intervention, Lot said, I'm going to go with him. And you will find in the sonship message and in the fellowships, you will have a mixed multitude. You will find you'll have spiritual men and women who don't have it just in theory, but they have it in their heart. And they're going through cleansing and deliverance because they have this revelation and know the only way to get into sonship is to be cleansed by the power of God and allow the circumcision by the Spirit prepare them for that day. But Lot, he was a little different. It says Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when they departed out of Haran. Now, Abraham, in verse 5, took Sarah, his wife. Now, Sarah means contentious. Now, that's not a very good name at that point of the game, but I found this to be many times true, that sometimes the wife will get revelation and the husband doesn't have revelation. And then they have contention in their family. I've also found that the husband gets revelation and the wife doesn't have revelation, and she can't understand it. And then when they end up in some of the fellowships that they see with sonship and some of the things that are happening, then the contentious spirit begins to work, and all of these things begin to come to the forefront. But it says, Abraham took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. Now I want you to notice that phrase. When God brings us to certain levels of revelation, he always gives us souls. I believe souls come, whether I'm on my way to sonship or deliverance, I have found in our fellowship that God adds to the church daily such as should be saved. And then God, through the Spirit of God, adds them to the Lord as they move up into lordship. And we find here that in their strong and enlightened place where they came together, God added to their number. God gave them souls. And it says that here, and I'm spiritualizing this now, that the brother's son, all their substance they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they took these souls, they didn't leave them there. They said, we're going higher in the things of God. We want to go on in the things of God. And it says, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Now, look at verse 6. Abraham passed through the land unto a place of Sichem. This means shoulder, or a city of refuge. This was the place that when he left this strong and enlightened place now, and is moving on up into the things of God, that he comes to this place or this shoulder in God in the plain of Moreh. This was the plain of Moreh. It was a strong place that he came to. He came to God, and he began to worship God, and he found that in God he could put his head on God's shoulder and just kind of relax and let God do the work for him. All revelation that you and I get from God, all the things that God shows us, the sole purpose of it is to bring us into union and identification to Jesus Christ. Everything that God gives us, the sole purpose is to build in us his Son, to produce the character of his Son in our lives, to bring us to that place where we become intimate and come to the knowledge or the full knowledge of our God that has birthed us into this revelation that he's given to us. And so that's what happens. Abraham begins to move higher into the things of God. And now he comes to this place in God, the shoulder of God, and he gets strength from God. Then it says, when he gets into Canaan and he finds this place in God, it says, and the Canaanite was then in the land. Now let me say this to you. Deliverance is not the panacea or the cure-all for everything. I find that even though God does a deliverance in my life, and he's been doing it for 6 years, I was mentioning to somebody, I've been set free recently from a spirit of cancer, a spirit of death. Also, I've had in Indonesia depression and frustration I was set free from. I've been set free from self-pity and many other areas. But I still find the enemy doesn't leave me alone. All right? When you have deliverance, it doesn't say that you're going to have the devil stop tempting you and coming against you with pressure and situations and circumstances. That's his job. When he gets tossed out, he knocks on the door and tries to get back in. But it's a little different when you overcome from the outside and when you're trying to overcome from the inside. And so God, through deliverance, takes and cuts loose all the things on the inside that you and I know about. He brings this deliverance to us and throws it out so that our overcoming is going to be from the outside. You say, is that possible? Jesus Christ was an overcomer. Is that right? All right. If he was an overcomer, yet the Bible says that Satan came to him and Jesus said, Satan has nothing in me. So what did he overcome? Overcame the devil trying to penetrate his life and get on the inside. And so as God brings us up to the level that Jesus Christ came down to in the kenosis, or the emptying, self-emptying of Jesus Christ, he is bringing us up to that level where he cuts out those things in our lives that you and I can walk and live above sin, because we carry with us a fallen body that has not yet been redeemed. And it's this body that you and I carry around that Satan works on to try to penetrate. Somebody says, well, if you get deliverance from all of these things, what do you have to overcome? Oh, my God, I have lots of things to overcome. There are times that situations come and the devil comes. And even Glenn was mentioning this morning about March being a tough month last year, February, and the finances. Well, he could have given in. He could have had a pity party. He could have had lots of depression and discouragement. And if he'd have wallowed in that thing, Satan could have penetrated his armor and got those things on the inside. So his overcoming was believing God, trusting God for God to bring that month, to bring it through, and all the bills to be met. That's overcoming. That's overcoming. You say, well, what else do you have to overcome? You can overcome your husband or your wife. They don't understand where you are spiritually. Their children don't. Your relatives don't. So they come against you with all the bitterness and the resentment that can come out of the kingdom of darkness in them and attack you. You can either retaliate and have a spirit of retaliation come in, or you can give it over to God, find this shoulder in God as you move higher in the things of God, and say, Lord, you handle it. You take care of it. And so we find out that this Canaanite was in the land. The spirits were there. The warfare was there. And even all the time you go higher into the things of God, you'll find the pressure gets greater. And I found that to be so. When I was in Philippines and Hong Kong and Indonesia, I found the pressure and the physical sicknesses that tried to attack my body worse there than I had here in America. Because the closer you get to battling principalities and powers and pulling down strongholds, Canaanite will fight with all he has to try to destroy your anointing and destroy your life. But let's go on. When Abraham finds himself in the sixth verse here, the seventh verse says, and the Lord appeared unto Abraham. Oh, I like that. When the battle's the toughest, when the enemy is fighting you, when you've come into that place in God and the old devil's coming against you, suddenly, in the seventh verse, the Lord appears unto Abraham and he says, unto thy seed will I give this land. And I like that because when I get into some of these tough places and fight the devil, I can always go back, and when God speaks to me through the Spirit and says, I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to give you this soul. I'm going to give you this deliverance. It kind of does something. It refreshes your heart and your spirit. And so as he appears unto him, you'll notice what he does. It says, and there, after God had appeared to Abraham in verse 7 of Genesis 12, it says, and there builded he an altar. Now why did he do that? Because every time you and I meet God on our journey into the things of God, to higher heights, we're going to cut a little flesh off. And that's what the altar was. The altar was where they offered a sacrifice, and they offered the flesh of those sacrifices to God, a burnt offering. And every time you and I move into the things of God and go higher in God, and God speaks to us, we'll feel unworthy, and we'll lay ourselves on that altar of sacrifice, and we'll let God sever by the Spirit a little flesh and get rid of it on our journey higher. Because what's happening? From the time we leave this realm and get to the realm that God is taking us to, we are going on a journey. And from one point, from point A to point B, it's going to cost us something. Because I know that I live here in flesh, but when I move up into that realm that God wants me to go eventually, I will not get there with a fleshly body. I must be glorified. And so from this point to that point, God must do a work of circumcision on the inside. And as he cuts out the fleshly areas and the spirit and the mystery of iniquity that works in me gets it cut out, I am losing my life. I am losing my soulish life, and I eventually will find my life in Jesus Christ. How many understand what I'm saying? Amen. That's the toll. From this point to that point, there is a toll. And the toll is that we lose our life and find it in the Lord Jesus. Now let's go on here. In verse 7, he says, "The Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land." That was a wonderful promise. "And there built he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." And then it says, "He removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel," or on the east of the house of God, "and he pitched his tent, having the house of God," or Bethel, "on the west, and Hai," or this heap, or this city of Benjamin, on the right, or on the east, "and there he built another altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord." Now we must, in all of our journey, call upon the Lord Jesus. I am learning, as you are learning, that we found in first principles Jesus as Savior. That was beautiful, it was a wonderful experience, and there are many people today who are still in that experience. They've never gone any farther. They know him as Jesus, and that's all they're concerned about. I know him as my Savior, and I've missed hell, and I'm going to go to heaven, and I've got a home in glory land. Well, my God, if that's all they've got in their spiritual life, they don't have very much. Because they're still babes in Jesus Christ. But we move from Jesus to Christ, and then we learn, as God's people, that's another experience. Christ the baptizer. Christ is the one who puts the power inside and does the work in us. And that was a beautiful experience. I can go back to my salvation and my baptism, and it's a wonderful experience. But when God 7 years ago met me in Lordship and began to show me through revelation that Jesus Christ wanted to be Lord of my life, and as he began to show me identification and intimacy and union with him, that changed me. That transformed me. And it began to do things within me that I realized, my God, there's more than what I've had. And I often sit down and in retrospect, I think, what did I preach for the first 20 years? What did I preach for the first 20 years? What did I feed the people of God and the pastors that I had? And so for so many times I've gone back to some of the people that I pastored and tried to bring them a little farther and tell them, look, there's more. Pentecost wasn't the ultimate. It was just the beginning into the fullness and the glory of God. And so we find here, he calls on the Lord now. He's beginning to move higher. And the Lord is meeting him and ministering to him. And then in verse 9, it says, Abraham journeyed, going, what's the next word? On. Going on. Going on. You don't stop in the things of God. Amen. You don't stop in the things Amen. Of God. You must go on in the things of God. And the thing that will take you farther in God is the Word of God. It's the Word, the hunger for the Word, the revelation that the Holy Spirit gives to you from the Word to bring you into the full knowledge, the full discernment of Jesus Christ and who He is and what He is. And we read here, and Abraham journeyed going on still toward the south. Verse 10, and we've all experienced this. There was a famine in the land. You ever get to the place in your spiritual experience, even in sonship, and moving up into the things of God, where you feel like there's a famine? You say, oh my God, I just can't get anything from the Word. I pray, Lord, and the heavens are like brass. And I want to talk to my friends, and it seems that even the people you fellowship with don't have any further truth, and you're starving to death on the inside. You just feel, what am I going to do? And you're battling. I believe God makes those places for us. I believe He brings us to those places. And look what happens here. It says there was a famine in the land. Abraham went, what's the next word? He went down. He should have been going on and up. But you see, the famine, the spiritual famine that he found in his heart, this spiritual famine that he found in this land, rather than bring him closer to God and have him struggling to move higher, brother, it kind of dislocated him for a little while. And it says here that the famine was in the land, and Abraham went down into Egypt, went back into the things that God had taken him out of. And how many times have the people of God, because of famine, spiritual famine, in their own land, or in their own churches, or in their own denominations, they've started to back off. They said, I can't take this. If this is all there is from God, not realizing that God is on the inside, and God knows where they are, and God will take them on, and as Brother Glenn has already said, we must make sure that all fear is gone. Because God knows where you are this morning. God knows where I am. I have no fear. God knows where I am. God knows where you are. God knows what you need. God knows the deliverances that you must have. God knows the areas of your life that you're struggling to get rid of and overcome and battle. God knows all of this. My dear, how many believe God knows?
Amen.
He knows more than all of us put together.
Amen.
He knows what's happening. But we struggle and we sweat and we say, oh my Lord, I can't get victory over this and I can't overcome this and I don't know why this is happening. God says, why don't you just sit down and shut up? You know, sit down, you know, shut up. Let me work with you. Let me deal with you. All I want you to do is to go on. All I want you to do is become stable and steady, not to vacillate and fluctuate. I want you to be steady and move on. And if there's a famine, let the famine be. I know there's a famine. If I want to turn on revelation, God says I can turn it on. And believe me, I know He can turn it on. I've had revelation where the Holy Ghost has taken over my mind. And when all of a sudden that anointing comes, I look at the Word and it almost blows me away. I see things way out in the Spirit, and I'm trying to get it all down, and I just can't get it all down. And I know that I just want to stay there and see the revelation as God shows it to me. But it never lasts. I have to struggle, and I sweat, and I study, and I work in the Word of God sometimes 6, 8, 10 hours a day, and maybe only get one little nugget, and maybe I'll work for a whole week in the Word of God, and never get anything special, anything that really becomes alive in revelation. But that doesn't change it. It's still the Word of God, and it still becomes engrafted in me as I work with it, and I pioneer in it, and as I dig to get what God has for me in the Word of God. So it says, Abraham goes down to Egypt. He's going to stay there. It says to sojourn there in verse 9. For the famine was grievous in the land. Well, listen to me. If we have a spiritual famine in the things of God, it'll never get any better going back into Egypt. Because it's a lot worse back there. You believe that? Brother, when you move into sonship as you're doing and into deliverance, and you might come into conventions or come into your fellowship, and maybe the truth or the revelation isn't coming forth like you think it should, maybe you're starving a little bit, remember, you're better off there than back in the organization that God brought you out of. Don't you forget it. God knows where you are, and God knows the growth and how rapid you can grow and how much He can give to you and whether you're walking. It's one thing to have all the revelation. It's another thing to walk it out. And I can have revelation and all kinds of revelation, but brother, I've seen it. I've seen all kinds of revelation come from people that tell me they're manifested sons, they're this, they're that, and I look at them and say, Lord, what kind of revelation are they having? Because I don't see it in their walk. I don't see it in their life. I don't see it the way they talk to people. I don't see it in the love that they do not show one to another. There are certain things God says we must allow to work within us. And all the revelation that we get from God must be worked in us. It must not just become theory. It must become experience. And so we go on here, and it says He's going to go into Egypt and sojourn there for a while because the famine was grievous in the land. Well, it came to pass when he was come, what? Near to enter into Egypt, that he says unto Sarah, his wife, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. In other words, he said, you're really beautiful. And that scares me. Because he said, we're going into a place now, because of your beauty, that I might lose you. And fear already starts. And with the fear comes a lie. Brother, when you are in the will of God, you have nothing to fear. Come on. If you're in the will of God, and you know you're in the will of God, you have nothing to fear. You get out of the will of God, or out of the anointing, or out of the abiding in Jesus Christ, and you have plenty to fear. That's why you've got to keep on in the things of God. You must not look back. You must not go down, but you must go on and go up into the things of God. And so the old devil now is working and says, well, why don't you tell a half lie? She's your half-sister somewhere down the line, so just tell a half a lie. But that's what Egypt will do. That's what bondage will do. That's what a dry spell will do, unless you realize that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. Do you believe that? All things work together for good. Not some things, everything works together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. And that purpose means showbread. And showbread is what God's trying to bring us into, His sonship, where He can look at us and say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. This is my beloved son," or "These are my beloved sons in whom I am well pleased." So then we go on a little farther. "Therefore it shall come to pass," he says in verse 12, "when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me. They will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee." Back off from God. You can cause other people to back off from God. When you begin to lose out in your testimony and in the things that you do at home or in your job or wherever you are, other people will look at you and you can cause them to stumble. I remember when God met me 6 years ago, I might have shared this one time, but I had an idiosyncrasy that I'd picked up as a spirit of inheritance from my father. And it was that sometimes if I was stirring my coffee or my tea and I have my spoon, I'd take the spoon out and touch my wife's hand with it. And she'd jump, you know, really funny. It was funny for me, it wasn't funny for her. And then I'd go into the, if she had an apron on, and I don't know if they still wear aprons today, but she had an apron on, and if she was cooking and I was in the kitchen, I'd pull the apron string. She'd have two hot pots in her hands, and here I'd pull the apron string, her apron falls down. I thought that was funny. She didn't think it was so funny. Other times I'd go into the refrigerator, or if there was a cold bottle or something, and I would get it out, and she had short sleeves on, I would take the cold bottle, and I'd put it on her arm, and it would shock her. When God met me 6 years ago, and God was really dealing with me through the anointing and the Spirit, one morning after I'd been up for an hour or so praying, my wife had gotten up, and she was preparing breakfast, and she asked me to go into the refrigerator for something, and when I took the bottle out, I was going to take and put it on her arm. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "Don't do that." And when the Lord spoke to me, I turned to myself and I said, "Lord, why not?" And He said, "My son, if your wife is tired and you shock her system, she can turn around in anger and rebuke you and you have caused her to sin." And brother, I have never done it again. Never done it again. Why? Because God wants us to go higher. God wants us to go higher. He does not want us to dislocate or disrupt the anointing in other people's lives. As you and I travel, if we're looked upon as leaders or spiritual men and women of God, other people are watching, and the things that we do will either bring them along with us into the things of God or cause them to back off from God because of what we say and do. And so we find out here he was hindering his own family. Now, in chapter 13, in verse 1, it says, Abraham, and I like this is victory, Abraham went up out of Egypt. And you can read what happened to him while he was in the area. But Abraham went up out of Egypt and his wife and all that he had and Lot with him into the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And it says, and he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, the house of God, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning. See, when you back off a little, you have to come back to the place that you backed off from. You have to start there. Oh, you can't graduate from kindergarten to university. You have to go back to the place where you missed God. And this man had to go back to the place at the beginning where he had missed God and get things straightened out. So what does it say he does here? Well, it was between Bethel and Hai, and in verse 4, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. So he saw there's a little more flesh. He says, "Father, forgive me for my sidetracking. Forgive me for kind of moving out of the way of righteousness. Forgive me for doing the thing that I've done. I want to get back to where I was at the beginning." And so, of course, as he begins to repent, let God do a work, and he cuts a little more flesh off, and I'm sure that he learned some things in Egypt. I'm sure that God dealt with him in the areas of his life, as you and I read, and he comes to this place now, and he says, "I want to get delivered from this thing." And you know, I've learned that God will allow situations to come, and they look all adverse and negative, and all of a sudden, there's a wrong response that comes out of you. You ever been there? No, you never been there. Somebody says something and immediately you retaliate. Now that's what you call living kingdom principles and lots of love. Retaliation, you see. And when it happens, then you get grieved because the kingdom of God in you begins to deal. The king on the throne says, that's the wrong kingdom. That's the wrong kingdom. That's the wrong reaction. And so all of the things that come that look negative and adverse, God is using, dig you out. And the moment that that adverse thing comes out of your life, you say, that's not the Holy Ghost. That's the devil and his spirit. I want it to go. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, temperance, goodness. All right, anything that's not of that has got to be of something else. Is that right? He tells us the fruit of the Spirit, so anything that's not the fruit of the Spirit has to be fruit of some other spirit. And so he says, that's how you can diagnose. That's how you can discern. For out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. And if you talk long enough, when you're angry, you'd be surprised what spirits you'll name, right? You'll swear, spirit of cursing, blasphemy, anger, violence, all this coming out. Well, that certainly, that isn't the fruit of the Spirit, so it's got to be the fruit of some other spirit. And when that fruit shows, you're going to have to get rid of it. And so we find here that Lot came with Abram. Now, you don't read too much about Lot here. All you read is about the spiritual things that happened to Abraham, but Lot's always there. Not too much is said, but he's always there. In verse 5, Lot also went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. You know what you're going to find out, if you haven't found out already? That the farther on in God you go, the less fellowship you'll have with religious people.
Yeah.
I said religious people. I didn't say spiritual people.
Yeah.
I said religious people.
Yeah.
And I find out that when I get to talking about sonship and deliverance, I have a crowd for 30 seconds, and I'm looking around and I'm talking to myself. Because the religious people think I'm a fanatic. And so they kind of just move away. And we find out in the Word of God here that Abraham and Lot came to the place where they had a problem. And look what we see here. It says, the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And the next thing you know, there was strife. Where? Between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. Now, I've seen that with pastors. They thought they owned the cattle. We call them sheep, but they call them cattle. And, you see, strife. Why, don't you touch my cattle? Don't you know that they're all corralled and they belong to me, and I want you to keep hands off? But I have found out that the world is my parish. Found it out. I found out that the body of Jesus Christ covers the world.
Amen.
And that I'm part of the body, you're part of the body, and if we can share truth with the body, then I share truth with the body. I don't want you into the corral because we don't have a corral. Our fellowship's a fellowship, and if the sheep or the people of that fellowship or our fellowship feel that they can get something a little better somewhere else, then I'm quite happy if God leads them out. My blessings upon them. And if others come in, the blessing of God's upon them. Not because of animosity and enmity and bitterness. That's not the reason. But here we find the strife was there. And you'll notice, it says, and the Canaanite, in verse 7 of Genesis 13, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land. Who do you think caused the strife? But the devil, spirits, they cause strife in our churches. They cause strife in our homes. They cause strife between brothers and sisters, and so we find that's exactly what was here. The Canaanite, the Perizzite, dwelled in the land. So Abraham said unto the Lot, you don't shut up, I'm going to belt you in the mouth. Is that what he says? No. Verse 8, Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife. What are you so upset about, Lot? God's looking after my life. Why are you so upset? Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we're brothers. We're brothers. Those people in organizations, they're our brothers and sisters. We have more light. God is going to give us that light that we might share it with them if it's possible. But brother, if they won't accept it, don't fight them. Love them. Don't fight them. Don't fight them. Because if you fight them, you only have problems. And so we see here, he says, is not the whole land before us? If you don't like what's going on, don't fight. Separate yourself. Amen? If you're in an organization and your pastor or people don't understand you and you think you've got to stay there to defend yourself, I'm telling you this morning, through revelation of the Spirit, separate yourself. Get out. You say, oh, but God hasn't told me. I know people that stay in organization and tell me that's where God wants them. But brother, I don't want any part of the Babylonian system. I want to get out of it. I want to keep out of it. And I believe that I can be just as effective out of it than in it. Because I become a thorn many times to the flesh of those that are there. And so he says, separate yourself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. You can have either side, he says. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I'll go to the left. Now the difference. Lot, who was a Christian, but a natural, carnal, fleshly man, he lifts up his eyes, and what does he behold? He beholds all the plain of Jordan. And there are lots of things that you and I can have and see on a natural plane. But brother, this is not my inheritance. My inheritance is a spiritual thing in the things of God. And so I find here that when he lifts up his eyes, he looks and it's well watered everywhere before the Lord, destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And it says, then Lot, in verse 11, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Verse 12, beautiful. Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan. Now here are two men. One has a revelation of sonship, one has a revelation of heavenly places, the other fellow's there in theory, doesn't have the experience. Now the devil's working to destroy both of these men, destroy their anointing, and all of a sudden when strife comes, this man of God, Abraham, says, look, you choose what you want. All of Canaan's up here. You choose all you want. You take what you want. And so Lot, because he did not have it in experience, he takes that natural thing and falls from great heights. He says, where you fall. In the book of Revelation, he talks to one of the churches about you falling from a certain height. And beloved, that's exactly what happened. We see that Lot, Abraham looks and he stays in the spiritual place in God in the land of Canaan. And Lot, he dwells in the cities of the plain. Now, where are you dwelling this morning? I'm dwelling in heavenly places. I'm living in the spiritual things of God. But this man, he, in his natural, carnal, sensual life, says, I don't like it up here. I'm going to go down to the plains. I'm going to live at a lower level in God. And we have a church, we have people today who are moving in that lower level in God, and everything is on a natural plateau. Everything they're looking for is natural. Brother, I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And it says here that this man who was so natural pitched his tent toward Sodom, and the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And then God comes on the scene. In verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, after Lot was separated from him, after he'd gotten rid of that problem, he says, now you lift up your eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. If you will walk and live in God, if you will continue to press on into the things of God, if you will allow God to fight your battles, if you will allow God to deliver you and circumcise your heart through the Spirit and cut those things out that cause retaliation and bitterness and resentment and lust and all of these other things, then God will give to you His government and His authority, and one day you'll rule the world. Right or wrong?
Right.
You believe it? Just to prove it, let's look at Corinthians. Come on, and I'm just going to go as the Spirit leads. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Do you not know that the, what? Saints will what? Judge the world. And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that you shall what? Judge angels, how much more things that pertain to this life. God will give you the governmental authority if you qualify, if you are worthy, if you are fit for the government of God. But first, before you can in reality have the government of God in heavenly places, there must be the government of God in this land. And once this land is subdued by the government and the authority of the kingdom of God in you,
When that is done, then it'll be no trouble at all for you to move higher into the government of God. But first, this land must be governed through the lordship of Jesus Christ. And so Abraham knew this, and God came on the scene. He says, for all the land, in Genesis 13:15, which thou seest to thee will I give it unto thy seed forever. And he goes on, arise, walk through the land, and the length of it, and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. And Abraham removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the strength of vigor, or the plain of Mamre, and that's what it means, strength of vigor, which is in Hebron, and that word Hebron means seat of association. So after God has promised him, he moves up by faith, and he comes into strength and vitality in God because of association with God Almighty, and he builds an altar, and he says, I'm going to get rid of some more flesh. I love this, he said. This revelation is so terrific, and I love God's appearing to me all the time, that if I can just keep cutting away the flesh, Abraham says, and keep building altars, God will just keep moving in my life. And all the time that you and I are going through deliverance, whether it's 1 year, 2 years, how many years it takes, as God begins to cut us out, the seat of association and identification with Jesus Christ becomes closer every time a spirit goes. You believe that? You are better today than you were last night. If you got deliverance last night, then you have a deeper association with Jesus Christ and His Spirit than what you had last night. And all the time that you and I are going through deliverance, our identification and union comes that much more intimate with Jesus Christ. Now that's beautiful. That's a spiritual man of God. But let's close with looking at Lot just for a moment. He chooses for himself. And because of the choice that he had for himself, my Bible says that he ends up in Sodom. Now, you and I believe, and Glenn has already mentioned it, I believe we are going through tribulation. I believe that we are going to see the day of the Lord come, but through the fullness of the Spirit of God in us and moving in our mortal bodies through this day, but through the guidance of the Spirit, God is going to keep us and protect us. And He's preparing places such as this and other places around the world for the people of God who will flee into the wilderness. And the wilderness is this world. And so there have to be places where people can come. And so somebody will come from some place and knock on Glenn and Irma's door, and they'll be under pressure and fear and compromising spirits because they've never gone through cleansing, and they'll come here. What are they going to find? They're going to find love. They're going to find food. They're going to find deliverance. For I was a stranger, and you took me in. And God's going to meet these people because they, the overcomers, are going to nurture that woman as she flees into the wilderness. And I have been places in the Newfoundland where churches, one pastor got up one morning. He could not get a Sunday morning message. He did not believe Christians were going through tribulation. And he got up behind the pulpit, and for 45 minutes he heard himself preaching about going through tribulation. He was preaching something he never believed. And for 45 minutes, revelation flowed out of him. You know what it did? It made him a believer. And so every one of his people have now prepared themselves for tribulation. They have coal stoves. They have underground places where they've stored dehydrated foods, and they're all ready for when the day comes. Well, what are they getting ready for? Somebody says, I've heard people say, well, God can look after you. Certainly can. God has, if God doesn't lead somebody to do that, that's terrific. God leads you to do it, you better get it done. Because He's preparing a place for that woman and for those that are going to flee and try to get nurtured and be helped in the day of tribulation. And so Lot gets into the place, and he's in the city, and all of a sudden the angels come to Abraham, just as God has spoken to your heart and mine. And he says to Abraham, look, there's a day coming, I'm going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. And you and I know this is coming. And so what happens? Abraham begins to plead and seek God and talks about the righteous. And God says, if there's 10 and so on, goes down the line. But Abraham pleads and intercedes before God, and he does it so strongly that the Bible brings out in the Hebrew, he implants himself in God's heart. His prayer was so desperate for Lot and those that he knew were Lot's family, that when the time came for judgment, the Bible says God remembered Abraham. Not Lot, Abraham. Because this man had sought God for the loved ones. And so we see the angels go in and they knock on the door of Lot. And when they get there, the whole city is full of homosexuality.
lesbianism and homosexuality. And so when these men walk in, what happens? The men and all the people of the city gather around this man's home. Some testimony. They gather around his home and said, listen, we want these two men. We want to do to them what we want to do. And this man, who is a compromising Christian, he says, oh no, and he comes out, shuts the door, and he says, I'll give you my daughters. Fear of man. He was willing to appease that city and give his virgin daughters to that rabble crowd of perversion that let that crowd do to his children. And they said, we don't want your daughters, we want those men. And if you don't think that day is coming, brother, believe me, it's on us. It's not only in California. They're talking now in Toronto, the city that I live in, a second California full of gay rights and lesbianism and all this rabble-rousing crowd full of demon power trying to take over government, trying to come in as mayor, trying to come in as alderman, trying to get into the political structure. We've got it, brother, and it's working like a piece of leaven to destroy the moral fiber of our nation. It's happening. Day is upon us. And so we see that they said, well, if you don't, who's this man that tells us what to do? You know, this man had no testimony. Imagine. They look and they come against him and say, well, you don't have any testimony. What are you telling us what to do? Who do you think you really are? Who do you think you really are? And so we find out that the angels of God pulled this man, Lot, back into the house to save him. Then he said, we want you to get out of here because we are going to destroy this city. And then he said, can you imagine? Lost while being saved. Lost while being saved. And because he had never gone through cleansing, because he had never learned the spiritual revelation of God in revelation truth, because he'd walked in a carnal, fleshly, natural plane, because he thought he had to fight his own battles, because he thought that he had to do it all and God wouldn't do anything for him, he ended up in such a situation that when he and his wife heard this message, Lot goes out and he says to his kids, look, we've got to get out of here. God's going to judge this place. But his testimony was no better at home than it was in the city. And my Bible says that he had two virgin daughters, and so they all start to go out of the city. The angels have Lot and his wife by the hand, leading them out from judgment. God had said, don't look back. Now here you've got the angels of God leading this man and his wife out. And all of a sudden, that mother turned around, and she knew God said, don't look back, and she looked back. Why? Because my Bible tells me that this woman had sons-in-law who were married to her unsaved daughters. And so, because of a mother's heart, she turned and looked back, knowing the judgment of God was coming on that city, and she had children in that city that perished. Now think about it. Now you say, what does this have to do with the Deliverance Convention? You know what it has to do with the Deliverance Convention? Because our criticisms, our bitternesses, our gossips, our murmuring spirits, our spirits of anger, our spirits of antagonism, our spirits of domination and domineering spirits, these are the spirits of envy and greed. These are the things that turn off our kids. These are the things that turn off our relatives. And so God says, I want to change you. I want to circumcise you. I want to clean you out. I want to make you spiritual so that whatever situation comes, you will not have some kind of a wrong manifestation come from you, that you'll have such a life of love and patience that people will see Jesus Christ in you and will come to me. This woman and this man, because of their natural, fleshly, carnal ways, they left some family back in there. And I'm trying to find it here in the Scripture because I know it's here. And I just want to see if I can find it for you to read it to you so you'll understand what I'm saying. Hallelujah. I want you to turn to Genesis 19, verses 12, 13, and 14. And the man said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for I will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law, some testimony. Now,
why am I saying it? Because we can have deliverance. You're here for deliverance. If you want what God has for you in sonship, if you want what God has for you in that spiritual high calling of God, then you and I are going to have to die to the things of this soulish nature, whether we like the way we're treated, whether people work on us and criticize us, beat on us, spit on us, whatever they do, brother, the reaction from you and from me has to be love.
Amen.
You believe it?
Amen.
And if you're willing to pay that price, then your sons and daughters will see the change in your life and know that you have something different. But for years, the church has not shown them anything different. They've shown them nothing more than double standard and the hypocrisy and the criticisms and all the backbiting and all the divisions. And brother, that has turned them off. Well, we're closer to judgment now than we've ever been in our life. It's time we got cleaned up, and that's exactly what this place is for. They get cleaned up. They get God to do something to move us up into that spiritual warfare, become spiritual men and women. And brother, when this happens, our sons and daughters will come in for the glory of God. And it seemed here that when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which that are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, "Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." In verse 26, but his wife, and this is Genesis 19, his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Brother, I can give you more truth, but what I'm saying is that you know the areas in your life. I know the areas in my life. I've had violence come out of me, spirit of violence that I knew I had. It was buried. It was deep. I can remember as a kid when I had to get and fight my own battles, for my father was overseas for 6 years, and so we lived on the street at times and had to fight on the street. And fight those bullies. And so I can remember my temper would get the best of me. I remember putting a boy in the ground one day, and I was so angry that I was taken. I had his mouth open, and I was pouring sand into his mouth. And if they'd have left me there, the kid would have strangled to death. I remember picking up a dart and throwing the dart and pinning somebody's foot to the floor. It was nothing for me. If anybody had come close, I'd get a hammer. Don't come any closer. But that thing was resident in my life. And even though I've been a pastor, there were times, brother, when that anger would boil down inside like a volcano, and it took all the strength that I had to keep it buried. But God set me free. Brother, sister, God wants to clean us up. God wants to make us different. God wants His Son to be so glorified in us that whatever the situation, He'll be manifested. And then people can say they love Jesus. And I see Jesus Christ in them. That's deliverance. That's deliverance. And so let's bow our hearts together. And Father, as we bow in Thy presence, You know the cry of every one of the hearts of Your children here. We want to be clean. We want to be spiritual. We want, Father, to see the power and the authority and the compassion of Your Son to move through our lives. Lord, we're tired of a mundane existence. We're tired of an impotent gospel that's preached. We want to see the power of God manifested as it was manifested in the day of Pentecost, but past that. We want to be where they are, where, but we want to go past that, Father. We want to be able to speak the word and see, God, the mountains be removed. We want to see the cripples healed. We want to see Your name glorified. We want to see it done through the body of Jesus Christ. And so we pray this morning, Holy Spirit of God, as You move in this place, as You deal with us, as You convict us, bring to the surface, Lord, all the dregs of humanity and flesh that should not be there. And as Your Spirit begins to deal to the deep parts of our life, may we see those things in us that should not be. We don't want to have ourselves filled with religious spirits. We don't want to have ourselves, Father, being super and holier than now. We want to be just men and women that have the glory of God within us. Jesus Christ, Lord, when they met Him in the garden,
He was no different than those he walked with, because Father Judas had to kiss him to let the guards know who he was. He had no halo around his head, no wings on his back. But Father, he was a man in a mortal body, but he had within him the fullness and the character of God his Father. And we're asking you this morning that you'll develop us into that image, that you'll bring us into that glory, you'll bring us into that fullness. And so I pray in the name of Jesus, as we take authority over all principalities and powers, as we take authority over Satan, that Lord Jesus, you'll begin to work within our spirits this morning and bring to our minds those areas that must go. Bring them to us. Search us. Investigate us. Lord, and show us that we might leave this convention, Lord, changed, transformed, renovated by the power of the Holy Ghost. So we give you the praise, for we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now I'm going to ask you this morning. My Father's at that time already. This place had drawn right out of you, Glenn. I felt the power of God when I came in. I feel the power of God all through the service. I feel the power of God now. You know what it is? Because they believe in deliverance. And it's a liberty, a freedom that comes as God begins to clean up the people of God. And the prayer that goes up. Hallelujah. This is what it is. This is what it is. It draws it out of you. It draws it out of you. I've been in churches where I couldn't cry because I didn't feel anything. But as soon as I feel the power of God, I can't turn the tap off. And don't laugh, brother, because you're as bad as I am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's just because you sense something. You sense that you can't see God, but you feel Him. And He just draws it out. And the people that come are hungry for reality. Hallelujah. So this morning, I don't know what to do from here. We're going to have some counseling this afternoon and times of prayer maybe with you that have deeper problems that need to be set free. But let's, this morning, if you feel the power of God moving in your life, and you feel, yes, you need deliverance in some areas, then please come and sit like we did last night on these front chairs, and we'll lay hands on you with our brothers and sisters here and get you free from some of these areas. Just come and sit at the front, and let's believe God. Let's believe God. If you're here and you're lukewarm and cold, the reason you're lukewarm and cold is because you've had problems that you need deliverance from. That's all. And so if you're willing to let God, let go and let God, then He'll do it for you. Hallelujah. Anyone else want to come and sit at the front before we have our brothers and our sisters come and lay hands on you? Hallelujah. You say, brother, what'll happen? My God has all the authority, all the power. And the moment you confess and renounce the things that are hindering your life, and you do it vocally like we did last night, you start to renounce, I renounce in the name of Jesus, the spirit of, and if it's bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, gossip, criticism, I prayed for some vice president's wives in Jakarta of the full gospel, and they had what we, and I found this, it was a spirit of control over their husband. It was a domineering spirit of control, and they came, and I saw these women throw up their toes. I could not believe it. A spirit of control, of a domineering spirit over their husband. They always had to do it on their husband. Wouldn't let their husband. They always had to do that thing. And so they came and God delivered them. And these were the top men of all of Indonesia, Jakarta, for the four gospel businessmen. Beloved, I saw God do things there that was beyond my scope of ability. I knew that God was showing me different ministry. And so I'm saying to you, if you have that problem, then you sit here and believe God. Let go and let God. God has His men who are taking over the priesthood of their families. You believe that? It's happening. God's bringing men. Our fellowship is full of men. More men in our fellowship than ever had in any other church. Why? Because God's delivering. God's delivering. And the wives are getting cleansed. Rather than they want to have to take the responsibility, God is placing the mantle of anointing on the men, and the men are moving in. They're taking the authority, and they're loving their wives, and their wives are loving it, loving it. I tell my men, listen, treat your women like their ladies. Treat them like their ladies. You love them. That's the way you treated them when you got married. And so some of our men, They're just like strong oak trees. God's making them into a real polished piece of furniture. And they're opening the doors for their women, and they're pulling the chairs out. And you say, listen, my wife loves that. And if I forget, she'll stand there and say, is there a man in the house? And I get the message. I get the message. But you see, when you love them, they love you. Amen? Isn't that scriptural? Love your wives. You say, well, I can't show love. No, if you have rejection, you can't. Then get up here. Get that spirit of rejection. How many men can't look at their wives and say, dear, I love you? And and I've seen it. You know, the wife, I say to my man, look, turn around, tell your wife that you love them. And the wives are there and they say, I love you. When I see that, I know they've got a problem. Inferiority. Rejection, fear of rejection. But when they're free, they can put their arms around their wives and say, I love you, dear. No embarrassment, no shame. Why? Because God's just cleaned out some dirt that was in there. That's all. Hallelujah. What's it do? Brings us into spiritual living. Kingdom principles. In our home, in our church, in our fellowship, in our jobs. And that's exactly what God wants to do. Hallelujah. Anyone else before? All right, let's have some women with the women that are here. Hallelujah. Some men. And I want some young men, if we have them, come up and lay hands on this brother. And some men here, have some standing. And I want you to lay hands. If you've had deliverance, I want you to lay hands on these that are sitting here. We're going to bind the power of the enemy. God's going to do the work of deliverance. He's going to set you free for the glory of His name. And He's going to clean you out a little bit, and you're going to get you're going to lose a little weight, and when you leave, you're going to feel so much better. Now, I'm saying weight, spiritual weight, that you're carrying around that's not good weight, and that's going to go, and you say, well, I want to lose some physical weight. Well, and that's going to happen eventually. God's going to take care of it. You know, sometimes I wonder about this obesity and gluttony. I know they're spirits, but you know, you can get so wrapped up in it that it'll make you eat worse. You can get into bondage to bondage. Come on. You can get into bondage to bondage. You can become so introverted that you're looking, oh, what's wrong? What? Oh, forget it. You want God? God knows where you are. He knows the things that have to go. He'll deal with you. Get them out. Go a little farther. He'll handle it. Don't sweat it. Amen? All right, let's have some men here. Yes, dear.
The Lord has revealed to me as you spoke that when I was 3.5 years old, I was kidnapped by bands of gypsies on the Lansing Ridge Road in Lansing, Illinois. And it took them a half a day to find me. Don't forget the police department and them had horses and four horses to a wagon, you know.
Yes.
And they found me in a woods, which is now Wicker Park in Lansing. They were ready to put me into a bath of walnut stain to make me dark, because I was like an albino white-haired child with curly hair. And the Lord said that this gypsy woman never had a child, and she wanted me.
Mm-hmm.
And she had left a curse with me, and from my whole childhood until now, I have this where the white corpuscles eat up the red, mm-hmm. and I go into anemia condition.
Mm-hmm.
And He revealed this to me.
Praise the Lord.
And it's a curse with the demonic nature.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, there isn't anything God can't do. Hallelujah. All right. God's going to heal her, set her free. Hallelujah. Let's have some here. Irma, where's Irma? Come on, dear. Why don't you lay hands on our sister? And we want another lady here and another lady here. Hallelujah. Come on. You that have... Listen, this is not a one-man ministry. This is a body ministry. This is God's making us deliverers for the glory of His name. Hallelujah. 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 Now, you understand what we want you to do. We want you to renounce every area that you know about in your own personal life. And I want you to do it vocally. I don't want you to be embarrassed or ashamed. What I want you to do is out loud say, I renounce in the name of Jesus, the Spirit of, and begin to renounce those areas.
And then they'll lay hands on you. I want you to breathe in because you're drinking of the power of God. You're drinking in of the Spirit of God, and you're forcing out, as Irma said this morning, you're forcing out those spirits. And God, you're cooperating with God's Holy Ghost, for He'll work with you, and you will get yourself freed in the name of Jesus. Now, Satan, I take authority over you. I take authority over your power, your spirits, and in the name of Jesus Christ, I command that every demon power of hell, every fetter, every controlling spirit shall be loose in the authority of Jesus' name. Now loose, I said, in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, I want you to start to renounce those areas. Breathe in and breathe out for the glory of God. In the name of Jesus. 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 And now, Satan, I bind you in the authority of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirit of witchcraft. I bind all curses and all hexes in the authority of Jesus' name. I bind the sickness of anemia. And I command in the name of Jesus Christ, these spirits to loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of my life, I said in Jesus' name. Come out, you spirits of hell, in the name of Jesus Christ. Loose and be gone in Jesus' name. Now breathe in deep, dear, and breathe out in the name of Jesus. Breathe in deep and breathe out in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Brother, I want you to renounce every area. Start to renounce every area in the name of Jesus. And when you finish renouncing, I want you to breathe in deep and breathe them out. In the name of Jesus. Lay hands on him. Let's believe God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind the spirit of rebellion and stubbornness. In the name of Jesus, I command that you loose our brother. Go from him in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, all spirits of self-consciousness. Loose him in the name of Jesus. Come out, you spirits of hell, all embarrassment or shame. We loose in the authority of Jesus Christ. We free this man in the authority of Jesus' name. Come out, you spirits of hell, in Jesus' name. I want you to breathe in deep, my brother. Just deep breaths for your drinking of the Spirit of God. Breathe in, don't fancy. Breathe in and breathe out. Let the Lord Jesus set you free. Loose him in the authority of Jesus' name. Loose him in the name of Jesus. Loose him in the name of Jesus. Deep breaths. If you feel gas coming, I want you to let it go. If you feel nauseated or you want to spit or cough, I want you to let it go. In the name of Jesus, come out of his life. Loose him, I said, in the name of Jesus Christ. The blood of the Lord Jesus sets him free. The blood of Jesus Christ sets him free. I command you, Satan, to loose. I said loose in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, whatsoever I bind on earth is bound in the heavenly. Whatsoever I loose on earth is loose in the heavenly. I command that you loose in Jesus' name. Come out, all spirits of inferiority, all spirits of inhibition, leave in Jesus' name. I said leave in Jesus' name, all stoicism, out in the authority of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ sets him free. That's it, breathe in deep, brother. That's it, just let go, let God have his way. Deep breath, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I loose this man in the authority of Jesus Christ. I loose him in the name of Jesus. I loose him in the name of Jesus Christ. I loose him in Jesus' name. I loose him in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.